You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 53 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. My name is Dion Morales, and I am joined by I Don't Vassal, Nate Moore.
My microphone sucks today. I need to use the mute button.
Oh my god. And His Majesty, Marcel Manzano.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
You know, I just read what you put in there. I don't have choices.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You get mad when I don't read it.
I don't know what you're saying, but I appreciate that you view me in that level of esteem. So thank you.
You're welcome, I guess. All right. Today, we're going to be talking about, if you looked at our title, it's target selection, a.k.a. what do I kill first? But before we go too far, I do want to mention, as you guys know, we've been going around and streaming all these system opens. We'll be streaming this upcoming week from the system open. But one part of the country that hasn't gotten one is the southeastern part of the United States, so like the Florida, Georgia area. And they're doing a little petition. We're going to put it in our show notes. And it's like, hey, it's mostly, honestly, it's probably not going to do anything in the end, but it makes FFG aware, like, hey, there's a bunch of people that really want this, and it has a bunch of signatures already. And if you want to sign it and help them out, go ahead, at least to give some awareness. And hopefully, if not this season, maybe next season, we can get them a system open.
But isn't like signing and voting and stuff an issue in Florida? Just saying.
Yeah, hanging chads. It's tough.
Okay.
That's so old. We just made a George Bush joke.
Well, I am old. That's like my prime time. Come on.
The people are really confused right now. We made a hanging chad joke, and I guess we're gonna. You know what? Transition music here. All right, guys. So our topic today is assessing target selection, aka what do I kill first? And so I'm going to give you guys some of my points, and you guys can go ahead and bounce off of them and add as you wish. So the first part, you know, when I sit down at a game and I'm trying to determine what do I need to kill first, is looking at how many points each of my opponent's ships are worth. If they're large ships, how much are the half points of that worth? That matters, because if they're odd numbers, they round down. Please remember that it rounds down. There's a lot of people who don't know that. So don't mess yourself up on the math there. And then, of course, knowing your own points breakdown, because if you're counting theirs and you don't know if you have, you know, two of your ships left alive, how many points that's worth, knowing your opponent's points doesn't actually matter. So just make sure you have that in your mind when it comes to points. Marcel, any thought about that?
Yeah, I actually never look at that. I usually don't know. And then when they say time, I'm like, wait, who's winning? And I'm not being facetious about that. I'm being dead serious. I mean, you saw it in the last cut, and then you also saw it in what was it, the Chicago championship this year, mm-hmm. where I was mm-hmm. playing against Robert Jers, and then I was basically rushing, trying to kill him, and I was up on points the whole time. So yeah, it's definitely a good thing to keep in mind, and it is a good way to approach, you know, who or what are you going to kill first. Me personally, I still don't think I'm probably going to pay a little bit more attention to it, but I'm still not going to pay attention to it too much, because I always play to kill 200 to kill everything on the table. And I approach it from the angle of what do I kill first that'll make it easier to kill the rest, or what do I kill first that'll be impossible to kill later. So I tend to be more aggressive. I never play for time, so I pay less attention to this, and it bites me in the butt sometimes.
Right. I mean, I haven't even gotten to that point. Yeah, by the point is just the first point out of a few ways you can make this decision. So my second point here is, did you bring a points fortress? It's kind of like point 1B. It's very related to the by the points. So if you brought a ship that's worth in the end game 48 points, and your opponent brought a ship in the end game that's worth 49 points, if you get into that end game, you're going to be sad if that 49-point ship is still alive. You do have to take into account what's around it, which we'll get there in a minute. But that's something really important to think about in the end game, just to know. Again, Marcel doesn't count, but you know, in the current games that I'm playing right now, you know, my Kylo, depending on which build I'm bringing, is either 48, 49, or 50. 47, 48, 49, or 50. And like each of those difference in points really matters, because it gives me different opportunities in the game depending on where I'm sitting at. If you're tied with, you know, points fortresses, you know, that gives you a whole other decision. You have to think, you know, should I go for the points fortress and just be ahead early, or, you know, will the other pieces around it keep it alive? Which I think kind of goes into our next section here, which is tech. Like, what tech did your opponent bring that can affect your decisions?
I would say, before we move off of points, I just want to point out. I just want to say the reason that I even now that it's bitten me in the butt a few times and I've lost, you know, actually the other one I won, but I haven't given myself the best opportunity to win sometimes by paying attention to the points. One of the reasons that I probably will continue to not pay attention to the points and what's out there and how to win that point game, at least early on, is I don't want that to influence how I approach the game. Because if I'm going after the point fortress, or I'm going after the thing that I think, you know, if I determine my win condition at round zero and say that's the ship I got to kill, then I am probably going to make tactical mistakes to get there. And I tend, for my play style, and you got to understand your own play style. This is something that Dion and I have, and Nate have talked about in the past, is know yourself and know what your strengths are, know what your weaknesses are, and know what your habits are. I know myself. I will always go for killing everything on the board. Always. That's just, I don't like to play for time. So I'm not going to chase what I think is going to win me at the end, you know, on points. So it really comes down to just understand your play style. But if you are, you know, you're determining, well, that's the ship I got to kill, you just have to be very mindful that, you know, that person might also know that, and then they may use that to kite, and they might bring the other ships to pay you for chasing what is essentially your win condition. So just if you're going to do that, just do that and use that as your priority, but don't put yourself in a bad spot if the opponent also knows that that's your win condition and that that's who you're going to go after, because they'll make you pay for it.
No, I totally agree with this idea and everything. There are two, I feel like these are two different types of play styles, you know, saying like, I need to win by doing this, and kind of just, I have the same mentality of Marcel saying, here's what's across me. I want to get 100 points. Yes, there are those situations where you're like, oh man, I just need to survive now. And there are moments where that happens as well. That's why, you know, you can have the Kylo or the other things. I mean, remember back in the day when big base ships, there was no half points. And so those are total point fortresses back in the day. You had to do something about it, because you could have two, you know, Falcons. You could have Chewbacca, and no one would kill Chewbacca back then because you just didn't take crits, and you can build them up that way. So yes, there is a strategy in which, you know, you size up your opponent and go, oh, I need to get ahead of this. And that's kind of the game that people are doing. That's why you see like these Mirandas, these Kylos and everything, just kind of there. That's like the end game. It's like, oh, I could just run around for 45 minutes, and which is not the most fun play style just to kind of run away for 45 minutes, but it is a strategy.
One of the things I think you have to look across the table, if we're just kind of breaking this down categorically, is did your opponent bring some type of hard counter to what you have? I think a very basic example would be, for instance, if you have expertise on like your big ship, let's say it's like Ray, right? That's like your main piece in your list, and they brought something that deals stress.
Who the hell uses Ray in this meta?
I don't know. So, you know, one of the things that you have to make a determination is, number one, can you, with your maneuvers, play around their arcs? For instance, we'll use the Ezra Sheathapede for, I mean, it's a perfect example currently. Can you play around where their arcs are going to be and be able to boost out of the arc and all that and be able to shoot other targets? Or do you think with your play style and the way you like to approach, are you going to need to just kill that thing right away and make sure that it does as little damage as possible? I think it comes down to play style. What are some other examples of things that hard counter each other, guys?
Go ahead, Nate.
Oh, geez, I'm trying to think of, like, you know, obviously, like, any stress build will take out, like, a Ray build. I don't know, like, for instance, like, Bombless tend to kill, like, a lot of aces a lot of the time. I mean, that's why we've seen less of Superfell, because bombs are kind of predominant. They're not as bad as they used to be, but that was where, like, a lot of aces fell apart. Cornhorn, again, doesn't like bombs. Like, think about, like, what about the jousting build? What tends to ruin jousting builds?
Harpoons.
Harpoons and bombs.
And bombs.
Yeah, and I would say, I would, you know, to build off of that, you know, the... A lot of the support tech, you talked about Ezra, is not really dealing any damage, but annoying, and the kind of support that it provides can destroy your list, either by taking away the damage that you're putting out or taking away your mobility by locking you down with multiple stress. Another one is the other Shizupi, Fen. If you're playing, you know, your list, Dion, if you're Pilot Skill 9, if you're Pilot Skill 9, you want to move last, especially with Kylo. So your number one target becomes Fen. And once Fen is dead, then you can arc dodge, then you can get into the bubble, and you can do what you like to do without having to worry about that Pilot Skill 11 boost. And yep,
I hate Fen so much.
And then another one would be, so that one, Fen. Another one would be something like anything that has, I know you got it written down right there, but anything that has selflessness. So anything that has selflessness kind of automatically always becomes your bigs, because that gives, you know, that forces you to spread damage more than you need to. So if you just kill whatever has selflessness, nobody else is going to take that damage because, you know, you're attacking the ship that has it. There's multiple versions of that.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. In like these three piece builds that usually have like a lore kind of, I guess the main mistake that I've made and other people have made too is like, you want to like, oh, do you go for the Miranda? Do you go for the Lorik? Do you go for the Ezra? Right? Or like, who are the third pieces? Whether it's Poe or whatever. And then it's like, well, do you go against the thing that's stressing you out, the Ezra, who could go down fast? But in reality, it doesn't go down fast because it has Lorik protecting him and the ability to turn all eyes into evades. Do you go against Lorik, who is probably not putting out a ton of damage, but and also has the reinforcer, you're doing reduced damage each time? Or do you go against the point castle there? You know, like the point fortress, which is Miranda, or a Poe, or sometimes I've seen these with Auras as well. So it's kind of complicated because you know that like each one will kind of regen. Each one's going to kind of, or like the point fortress is going to try to regen. It's going to like, you know, be the hardest to kill. It's usually there for the last game. And it's kind of like, what do you do in those situations? From people I've talked about, and I agree with myself, you know, take out the Lorik, because that's the thing that once you take it apart, everything else tends to fall in play. It can't really defend itself as much as the other things.
Well, you know, I think one of the points we have here is you don't want to spread damage out. And if you're not shooting Lorik, you are opening yourself up for a heartbreaking damage spread where you're like, hey, I only got to get one more shot into this guy. And they just like, all right, selflessness, I take all the damage over here on Lorik, you know, plus using his ability. and you're like, holy crap, I thought you think you're in the driver's seat. You forget about this very simple 1 point EPT that can really flip the game. And if you're not shooting Lorik, you're essentially, if you guys remember back to the Fairship Rebels, when you had Lorik and Biggs in a list, you're just spreading damage around, you know? And if you're not shooting Lorik, you're essentially giving people that win condition. It's like, hey, if all your ships are kind of damaged and you kill one of my ships, all of a sudden that person is lost, right? So you need to, my opinion, I mean, honestly, if you see selflessness on the board, you need to take that ship out right away or figure out a way to fly to get that ship out of range one, because I believe selflessness is only range one. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, use blocking. Blocking is your biggest tool, or like ions or something to get it out of range one in order to disable that tech. Because if you can do that and also focus on another ship that's a threat, that's a good idea. But if they're in that formation and you start shooting other ships, you're going to be set.
Yeah, well, good Lord players will always try their hardest to be at range one of everyone. Like, no matter, they'll kind of bump three people just to make sure Lorik is in there, just to make sure, like, oh, in case somebody needs, you know, like a pizza, here's Lorik kind of thing. So serving it up and everything, serving up the reinforce. And that's the draw, too, is that you think, like, oh, you can kill this one guy because it's like, hey, he doesn't have any mods. He doesn't have anything. Then you're like, oh, but then that 4 to 3 dice attack turns into nothing because Lorik's like, oh, by the way, reinforce or C-3PO or something else is happening.
There's a couple things that you want to look at, right? So you want to look at something built specifically to beat you. I think you mentioned that earlier. And the example that you specifically used was stress mechanic against expertise. Mainly Ray. Ray's the biggest expertise user right now. Maybe Quick Draw as well. But some of the other ones that we talked about were Fen, Pilot Skill Boost, the Lothal's kind of big right now. Nim, I think, is a big one, because Nim at Pilot Skill 10 is a true ace killer. And especially if it's loaded out with either Bomblets or Protons, both versions, both the Rebel and the Scum version can do some serious damage there. So that becomes a priority target. Anything that, you know, something that we've seen recently, more so than in the past, is Sabine. You know, so Sabine is strong. That's a given. But now, because Sabine is strong, people are putting Sabine on ships that are hard to kill and aren't worth that many points. I've seen Sabine recently on a stress Ezra. So now you've got more reason to attack stress Ezra while the rest of their list is putting out the actual damage and doing the work. By the time you're done with Ezra, you're in a world of hurt, right? So you just got to be very mindful about, you know, what is actually causing me damage. What is a true threat versus what is a implied threat? For example, with that Ezra is probably a bad example, but when people put, I've seen people put Rex and then they put the title and then they put Ezra, they park Sabine on Rex. So Rex is working to lower your dice. Plus it's got Sabine in there. And then you've got two heavy hitter bombers next to them, whether, you know, Miranda and something else or Miranda and a BSF.
And then when you kill it, you've only got like 20 points.
Yeah, exactly. So you spend all this time trying to kill it and they run away with it and you're chasing it. And in the meantime, they're behind you just, you know, chugging stuff at you. But if you think about it again, it depends. That's when that turn, you know, when you're looking at your win condition and your win condition says, well, I got to kill XYZ. Think about it. That 20 point Rex, as annoying as it is, if you kill Miranda, that 20 point Rex is walking around with a pointless, you know, with a useless crew at that point. It's not doing it any good anymore. So just keep that in mind as well. That just because it seems like the most precious thing to kill doesn't necessarily mean that it is. If you can kill that Nim, if you can kill that Miranda, now that Sabine crew is useless. So
I get that. And like that's the problem with, like, a lot of these Fen ghost builds is the fact that, like, oh, do you kill the Fen first or do you try to put damage on the ghost? And I've gotten to so many situations where I'm like, well, I have this great shot on Fen, but I also have this shot on the ghost. Which do I do? You know, because it's like, well, I'm probably gonna kill this one. I'm probably gonna do, like, I'll probably hit shields and the ghost. What do I do now? And I always kind of flip back and forth. So I never know how to kind of do the exact target priority in that matchup. Typically, I want to try to kill Fen because then I don't need him boosting things and doing all the other ridiculous shenanigans. But at the same time, you have to kill the ghost because every round the ghost is alive is more damage on you and more crap you have to deal with. You want to try to shred its shields, get to its hull, and start doing some real stuff or getting crits in something, right? But it's kind of like that weird situation.
Like, if I'm just being blatant in that matchup, I think you have to kill Fen first. I think you have to kill him in two turns, maybe three, if you have, like, three plus ships. And then after that, hopefully you have enough to get the ghost, because what you take away from the ghost is the high pilot skill boost in that matchup. We're going a little bit on a tangent, but it's a valid tangent. So I think, you know, like, for instance, specifically in your build, Nate, you have a large base ship with boost. You kill Fen, and now you use that boost to get into range one on the side arcs. And you don't worry about being an arc there. You just make sure you're at the side at range one where you can't TLT or main arc you, and you just rip them up.
And that's the problem in everything, is like I have to get in there. Or, like, you know, I have to try to find a way to separate Fen off, which does happen. You know, it's kind of like when people used to do Biggs and a ghost, and people got really, really good, especially Dio, and you got really good with Peritani, just getting right in between the ghost and Biggs and just being like, oh, now you're not at range one, and then you would do all your shenanigans there. And so it's about separating the two.
Yep, that was really
yeah, fun. I know, people were always like, what? And you're like,
I don't know how this happened. I totally didn't practice this a bunch to make sure it happened every time.
What is range control? What is movement? So, but yeah,
a couple,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think a couple other examples of other tech things, you know, any type of cards that prevent you from using your effects that are going to win you the game are things you're going to want to look out for. So something that has ion control, I think, is something that can very often be underestimated, especially if you're not super familiar with ion or haven't practiced against ion. Even one turn of not having your dial can make you lose a game. One turn. And if you're talking about multiple turns, a la hello, Jumpmasters, we're back. You know, you can just end up being decimated because you're either separated from your ships, or you're being forced to lose action several times. I've been ioned into bombs. That feels really bad. That feels really bad. You know, you're just, you know, I know that people want a quick fix, and that, you know, you look at the episode title and be like, you know, you haven't told me exactly what to kill first. The thing is, you have to diagnose the situation. Look at what your opponent has. You know, I look at points. Marcel and Nate usually don't, but it really depends on your list. I think, for instance, my current list, I'm flying Kylo in two boats. These are three ships that don't give up half points. And let's be completely honest, I think all of you know that I'm simply trying to get Kylo to the end game and let it go to time. Like, I am okay with that. And that's because the list I'm flying, I have to do that. Now, I'll surprise some people and get aggressive once in a while, especially if I feel that they're starting to understand the patterns I'm taking to arc dodge. You know, I'll get aggressive and catch them off guard. But, you know, like, for instance, Nate and Marcel fly a lot of big base ships that give up half points. Usually, they're not in situations where they're going to be quote unquote up on points, where they're trying to run away with their large base ships. That usually doesn't happen. They need to kill stuff. You're like, you know what? Marcel's like, I brought triple jump masters. You all have to die. Especially this new Ion version. Nate with his Miranda, you know, Miranda Ray. Miranda's worth what now, Nate? Like 38 points?
I she's like a budget. Right. Yeah, she's 38. So points. Typically, if I go,
like, it's not.
If
it's
I go against like a Kylo or a fatter Miranda, it's a struggle. So I have to make sure like I size up things. I'm like, do I kill your point fortress or do I just try to like weave it down? But then it's like, oh, let's say it's Miranda versus Miranda. Then it's like, well, I'm probably gonna be not up on points. So then this becomes a dice game. And I'm rushing, struggling to get to the end and kill them and be up on the damage curve, which is not where I want to be.
Well, so, I mean, let's go back to our original topic because we're veering off just a little bit. You know, I think that has to do with your openings, right? So if you determine, you're like, all right, you have Miranda, I have Miranda. My Miranda's worth 38 points, which in reality, compared to most Mirandas, ain't nothing. As they say, a skinny, very skinny Miranda. You need to make sure, like, you do not want the end game of Miranda on Miranda. You don't want that. Even if you're slightly ahead on the damage curve, with the regen and the ability to just miss shots, I mean, and time, like, that's so many variables there. Like, you need to make sure that you don't get on that in that end game unless you have a full health Miranda and they have like one or two, because then that's bad for you. You know, these are the kind of situations I think
that I'm grossly ahead of.
Right. Exactly. These are the kind of situations where you have to think through with your list. Especially we're of course specifically talking about, you know, when you're thinking through it with like tournament preparation, but even in your casual games, like if you want to win your casual games, you're actually not playing casual, kind of. You're like, I brought a casual list, but I want to win. Like, you're still playing competitively. These are the things you got to think about.
So I have an idea here. I'm going to like shout out some lists. I want you guys to think about what is your target priority in these, right? So for instance, let's say Nim Miranda. Who do you go for first?
Nim.
Well, I'm going to go and say it depends on what I brought. Right.
Yes, that's so, actually the
for, and that's probably going to be the same answer for everything. So Nimrin.
I know, because it depends on the list, depends on a lot of different factors.
So you know what? I think here, you know, what's a perfect example. All three of us are flying right now. Three very different lists. Let's go through some lists and break down our personal look at a couple of very common archetypes.
OK, so first, before we jump into that, because I like that idea, because we are offline something totally different with completely different ways of winning and different win conditions. But before we even get into that, I just want to also point out we're talking about target priority in this episode, and we're in a minute going to talk about the popular lists out there and how different archetypes, you know, what at least our opinion on what different archetypes should target as their main priority. But this, to everybody listening, target priority is a huge deal. And it when you sit down, that's probably what you're worried about most. Like, okay, what do I kill first? Me, again, everybody has their own play style. I think more importantly, that's one of the, if you take anything away from this episode, take away, be introspective, look at yourself. Honestly, ask your opponent, ask your friends, and say, what am I good at? What am I not good at? What are my tendencies? What do I tend to do in certain situations? I've been lucky enough to be on stream long enough to be able to watch back my games and kind of confirm what I think is my way of playing. But for this whole target priority, all of that stuff that's going through your head, all of that stuff is going through your opponent's head as well. And when I build a list, and you'll see that if you go back and look at all my lists that I've built that have, you know, been published anywhere, you know, whether on stream or somewhere else, I I take the opposite approach. I don't really care too much about target priority. I don't count points for my opponents, and I'm just trying to kill everything. But I use that target priority as my advantage, by giving you none. So in my and all the different variants of the triple jump masters or the two jump masters and the YB666, those, they're all worth kind of the same points. There's not that much difference between them. And you've got a bat, you know, you've got no straight target priority. I'm not giving you any target priority. In the double VCX and Ezra that I flew in, I don't know where I flew it, Indiana or Michigan or one of those. The two VCX were exactly the same, and Ezra becomes the target priority, but Ezra comes out later because she's docked. Same thing with Dengar and Thweak. You don't want to kill, you don't want to shoot Dengar because it's going to hurt you. And Thweak is, my Thweak is worth more than Nate's Miranda. My Thweak is like 43 points or some crazy thing like that. So you use that, all of that that you're thinking about, like, oh, I'm worried about who do I got to kill first or how do I kill? Use that to your own advantage and use that as part of how you build your own list, because your opponent, every opponent that you face is going to have that same conundrum of what do I kill? And then finally, one of the benefits of flying all generics, or one of the benefits of flying things that are more than two ships, let's say 3, 4, or 5 that are worth the same amount of points, and it's been one of the things that's brought me the most success, is the ability to make each ship as good or as worthless as the other ships, because then the opponent 90% of the time, instead of continuing to shoot the ship that they've started to shoot, will shoot the target that gives them the best mathematical odds to do the most damage, which gives you the control to be able to force who they're going to shoot by making one ship range 3 and the other ship, you know, an easy target. Sometimes you take a target lock instead of a focus to force them to, you know, to make that shot a little too juicy to pass up. So just keep that in mind, that all of that thought process behind target priority is the same thought process, and it's the same things that are taking up your opponent's mind the whole time. So use that in your own list building, not only in how you look at your opponent.
I like you talked about like the juicy target, because I know like Nathan Ivey, like with his 3-piece, you know, with his like Ezra, Cornhorn, and what does he use, Lorik? Your thing, he loves to bait you into shots and everything, because he's like, oh, here's this great shot at Corn or somebody, and he's really, really good about baiting you into those shots that he wants you to take and everything, because it's like, oh, this looks too good to be true, and it usually is. So that, I like how you kind of use that analogy.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and break down some lists here. I'm pulling up MetaWing, if you're not familiar with that tool. It basically imports a bunch of information from and data from List Juggler and gives us what are the current top squads and variations of them that are currently going on. So at number one is Nim Miranda currently. And so to give you just a quick reminder of our squads that we're all currently playing, I'm playing Kylo Ren with 2 gunboats. Nate is running Miranda and Ray, and if Marcel is sticking with his list,
you can just call mine low pilot skill generics, because it's either triple jump masters or double VCX or 3 Skurgs, but usually it's lower pilot skill generics that have points evenly spread.
So pilots, we have Nim and Miranda. They're usually around 50 points each, with usually, you see, most of the builds have Nim a little bit more expensive. So we'll just kind of try to go through this quickly and give a reasoning. So usually for my list, I'm looking for, if I'm flying my list with a 50-point Kylo, I'm looking for what is 51 points or more, kill it, and make sure I don't die in the process. That's what I'm looking at. I know it seems really simple. Of course, you got to have your tactics getting in and making that happen. But that's usually what I'm looking at. Nate?
if I see Nim Miranda, like, typically, I try to take out the Nim first. I mean, if I can, I'd love to take out the Miranda, but it's harder because she usually, A, has, you know, regen, B, has the ability to, like, fly away very fast, so if she gets under heat, she's like, oh, bye. And then that just swings in Nim, so then I'm, like, basically wasting time doing that. Ideally, I want to kill Miranda, but typically I go for Nim just because it's easier to get one thing off the board. He has less thing to defend himself with. Miranda has sometimes C-3PO run away. Nim can't run away and typically just takes the damage. And then usually within like a round or two, he's gone. So of firing, it's about that, but it depends on the situation and what's kind of handed.
All right. Marcel.
I'd say about 90% of the time I try to set up a trap for Miranda, and sometimes I'll take a shot or two at Nim, or I come in hard at Nim, but that's just really kind of a scare tactic, you know, scare him away into thinking, oh, he's coming at me. But at some point with what I have, any of the versions of the list that I said, Miranda with the regen, you got to kill it first. If Miranda lives against, if Miranda lives, you lose when you're flying low pilot skill stuff.
Yep. The next one on the list is Ghost Fen, which we already talked about. I guess we'll just go through it quickly again. For myself, you got to kill Fen first. I mean, that I don't, because you got pilot skill 11 boosting and Kylo is pilot skill 9. I have no way to deal with that until I kill Fen. So I got to kill Fen. Marcel?
I actually don't care. Whoever you give me. Because again, usually I'm flying stuff that's beefy and can take a pounding. So whatever you feed me is what I eat first.
And Nate?
If I could kill Fen, that'd be great. I usually try to do that first. If I separate them, then it's like, oh, I don't really care. Because if Fen is separated and can't do his things, then I just take the shots at the ghost.
Next list here, which actually we had a request for a very similar list. So we have these Ozatuk, which is Lorik, Ashitapede, which is usually Ezra. We're starting to see Fen pop up, though. So Lorik and Fen or Ezra plus an ace. It's been a regen ace. So you have Miranda or Poe or Nora. That's an archetype that we're seeing get thrown around now. For myself, if the ace is worth 49 points or less, I do not care about them. I just kill the other stuff. Lorik has got to go first because he usually has selflessness. If if he has draw their fire, I will take out the Sheathapede first. That's my plan there.
I'll block Lorik and kill Lorik. I'll worry about the rest later. I think with anything pilots go four and below, you can get in and get some blocks. No, Lorik's actually kind of easy to kill when you're flying low pilot skill stuff.
Nate?
I talked about this. I said, like, yeah, those three-piece sets and everything, usually, yeah. Like, the mistake is, and this is what Zach Matthews talked to me about, too. He said Ezra or, like, Distressora or the Fen is usually the sucker's bet. You have to kill, like, the Lorik first, and then everything else kind of falls apart.
One of the next archetypes is a version of Palp Aces that we've been seeing crop up quite a bit, especially at the beginning of the System Open season, which is a Lambda Shuttle, which is usually Yor, with Quick Draw and the Inquisitor. This matchup is actually pretty hard for my list. The Inquisitor is really hard to pin down for me because, I mean, with his maneuverability, and especially his ability against Kylo, like, I never get to use auto thrusters. He's a really scary ship. Yes, I can arc dodge him, but he's okay with being at actual range 3, which spreads his arc out really, really wide. So I'm trying to stay away from the quiz, get quick draw ASAP, and yeah, and deal with the shuttle as it may. Like, this is gonna, I mean this in the most kind way possible, but you have people who are really good at playing the shuttle and people who are really bad at playing the shuttle. If they don't know how to get that perfect pass and keep all three ships together, and like if their pulp shuttle is just kind of off in the corner, that player I usually am not super scared. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna go get quick draw because he's separated from everything. I'm gonna ignore the Inquisitor as long as I can and just go kill the shuttle and then see where I am points wise. Because even if I have two ships left versus the Inquisitor, I should be all right.
I kill the Aces, and that really, if I can kill quick draw first, that's usually the first target. But with low pilot skill stuff, the Inquisitor is a tougher ship to kill for me than quick draw. Quick draw punches harder, so it's tough. But Inquisitor is just so hard to pin down. So especially with the jump masters, with the auto thrusters comes in a lot. So with the jump masters, usually I'll try to get those snapshots off, and I'll try to do as much as I can while I still have three of them where I can pin down the Inquisitor. Once I pin down the Inquisitor, all that damage that the other two ships do, I usually have enough to soak it up and poke away at them slowly. But the Inquisitor is anything with auto thrusters, but the Inquisitor specifically is really tough.
Nate?
I've seen the variant on this is like Vader instead of quick draw. Both of them are fine. I typically just go after whoever, like, it's kind of served up to me first. So like, I typically don't like to take shots at quick draw if quick draw is going to shoot back at me. So it's like, all right, it's pretty much wherever I can bait, wherever I can get into like the right spot. Like, usually Inquisitor likes to run after Miranda, and then it's like, oh, you go after Miranda. Okay, I'll follow you. And then I set up kind of nice shots that way. So if I can jump behind a Lambda and other things are in on the other side of the map, just take the shots there. But typically, I go for the Aces. The Lambda, once again, is a sucker's bet.
All right, and let's look at a couple more lists here. So we have the Triple Wookiee Squad you see everywhere. They're all with Tactician. One of them is Lorik. And sometimes Lorik has Selflessness. Sometimes he has Predator. Depends on the build out. But he has Selflessness, he'll have C-3PO crew. So he's got Reinforced plus C-3PO. That gets real irritating real fast. In my experience, if you can get three shots, like if you can get multiple shots a turn onto any of the Wookiees, whichever one you can get, just kill it. Just like, yeah. Find whichever one is going to be your opening, your best chance. And you just kind of look at your vectors and see, all right, I'll be able to keep guns on this one for multiple turns. That's the one you got to try to kill. Because as soon as you lose one and you have to switch, you probably have lost the game.
Yeah, and that's the that's what I was talking about earlier when I went in that little soapbox about using it to your own advantage. If you don't have, if there's similarities between your ships enough to where each one either punches as hard, or in some cases they're not that scary, but they're all equally not as scary, then it creates a situation where there is no target priority. The target priority is the best available, and at that point you just have to be committed enough. So we're talking about not flying that, but we're talking about flying against that. And I'm giving you the key to beating me when I fly these things as well, just hopefully you don't fly against me, is don't give you what I bait you. Just attack. If you start on something, finish it. Don't let the opponent tell you, dictate who you're going to shoot by giving you something juicy. So if you start on something, get it off the board, because even if it's only at one hull, that one hull is still rolling two or three dice at you. So, so get it out of there.
This is me quoting, you know, one of our gold squadron members, Darwin. And a long time ago, Darwin always said, just if you take a ship off a board, take it off the board, right? There's those times where it's like, oh man, I really have this great shot at this ace, But at the same time, it might just be better to take something off the board, especially if it has the ability to shoot back at you as well this round. It's like, take something off. That's usually like one of the better ways to go about it.
Yep. So that's that squad. Another one that uses a lot of generics here, we have the 3BQD. So that's your three new squadrons with harpoons and quick draw, usually at pilot skill 11. With my squad, I have to take out quick draw first. I mean, she's very good at hunting, at hunting Kylo. I know they're like, oh, he just gets a barrel roll. But that barrel roll can be very, very good. there really isn't too many places to hide, especially if you guess wrong. Quick draw's got to go. But I will tell you that I don't want to give too much here because I've worked really hard to beat this squad. I've only lost to it twice. I've played it quite a bit in tournaments. One of them I lost because I bit myself in the butt. The other one I got outplayed. I'll admit on that one. But anyway, you know, the play I have to analyze in the first couple turns to see how you're going to play your gunboats and quick draw together. Like how is their teamwork? And then that's going to, if you give me an opening to start just chipping off gunboats, like if you just hang one out to dry, I think this is in any list, right? If you hang a ship out to dry and just let it die, you've just like handed your opponent the, you know, the driver's seat. You're like, all right, here you go. You know, you're minus down one ship. Let's start the game now. You know, you do not want to hang out ships to dry. And but if your opponent gives you one, like Marshall was saying, like, hey, just take it. Just kill it. what are your experiences against those list guys? Like 3BQD?
You know, quick draw is the obvious target. Just because it's different. It's like one of these things is not like the other. But it's usually, depending on what you're flying against, it might be quick draw only hits as hard as quick draw does because you're shooting it. If you're not shooting it, it's just a, you know, three die attack every time. The other things are actually hurting you more because while you're taking your time killing quick draw, the three harpooners already did the first pass. They're reloading and they're coming in for pass number two. So that to me is one of the hardest target priority wise to do. So I will usually go after that one is one that I'll determine as the game evolves. But again, making sure that if I damage something, it's got to be dead because a one hull harpoon does as much damage as a full life harpoon. It's still four dice and it's still triggering nastiness.
Cool. So I think just a couple of other ones that I think follow in that same suit. You guys let me know if you disagree. You know, quad Wookiees fall in that same thing as like pick one, kill it. The triple
pick a Wookiee, give it a ring and commit to it, right?
That's right. Commit to it and then murder it, I guess, is what we're saying.
Yeah. Isn't that what the allegory for life is? You commit to something by giving it a ring, then you slowly kill it over time.
All right. And this is as Nate just got a live-in girlfriend. So let's call the police and continue our podcast.
No, she's fine. She's fine. No one's seen her in 2 weeks, but she's fine.
Allie. a triple Skurg, very, very similar, where you have to, you know, pick one, kill one. Anytime, you know, you play, I think like a list like Marcel's, right? You have something where you have generics that are the same. Don't spread out that damage. You're going to be sad.
Yeah.
A list like mine with the two boats and Kylo. If you let Kylo get to the end game and you have less points, you probably have already lost. And something like Nate's is, you know, Nate's heavy hitter is Rey. If you ignore Rey, you're going to be really sad. And I think if you, after you've played against a lot of these lists, you get to see some of your opportunities. You do need to take a look at what your list is, and how that is. I know, we didn't give any silver bullets today because it doesn't exist. Because the other part of it is, you might know what you want to kill. And for instance, I know when people see my Kylo across the board, they say, that has to die. I know that. But because your opponent knows, or should, if they do know what your win condition is against their list, they're going to make sure you don't have that. Mm-hmm. If your opponent doesn't know that, then you already have the advantage if you're analyzing the matchup.
Yeah, and that's where the high level X-wing really comes into play, right? You saw the two Howards making the cut in Canada, and then you see Andrew Knuckles doing a few, and you see Andrew Bunn constantly at the top. You know what they have. So anyway, one of the things that Dion was saying that you need to have, he knows the win condition. He knows that when he plays, whoever the opponent is going to say, I got to kill that Kylo.
Right.
And he knows this Kylo's got to stay alive, and I just got to kill enough of you to not do that. So that's where the opponent with the lower pilot skill, or that's where the opponent that has to kill that Kylo needs to be smart and know, if I come in after Kylo, that's exactly what Dion and anybody else flying that type of ship is going to expect. They're going to expect, oh yeah, you're going to come right after this, and then the rest of my squad is going to eat you alive. So that's where that top level X-Wing really comes into play, where you're not falling for that, and you're setting up traps, and you're not being gung-ho and just say, hey, I'm going to come at you. That doesn't mean you never do it. You just got to be smart about it, and setting up traps and slowly. It's like a python, you slowly wrap around the opponent and you maneuver them into a place where they have no exit. So you just, because you got to kill that, doesn't mean you just have to go all out. And then can I say balls to the wall?
Well, there's like a difference between like setting a trap and obviously knowing what you have to kill and just going, throwing everything you have at it blindly versus like, having a condition and setting up the right thing. Because if you just throw everything at it and everything, doesn't mean that you're going to win, because it could just be Kylo on the board versus your three jump masters, and you could just go and just chase it. It doesn't mean that you're setting up everything you need to do or that it's going to work, right? You can't just go guns blazing.
Yeah, and also not to say that I condone fortressing, but if you know that your opponent has a fortress that a point fortress, not an actual fortress, a point fortress that needs to kill something of you in order for it to win, a Corrin, a Kylo, a Miranda, or something like that, make that opponent come to you. You don't have to go chase it. Let it come to you, and let it commit, and then you break out and you do what you need to do. Now, I don't like doing that.
But sometimes you have to.
Like, but in certain situations, it's just the right. Certain situations is just the right tactic to take. Especially, I think the one that you want to do this more than anything else against is that new list that's making the rounds, where it's Nim and Sol, and they're just putting a bomb fortress everywhere with Debris Gambit and just evades on top of evades on top of evades and just shooting out TLTs. Or shooting out other things. And a list like that, there's no reason to go after it. Just hang back and let them come to you.
One thing I want to add really quickly, because I'm a very big video game player, and I tend to like to relate things to video games. One thing this kind of reminds me of is like, if you've ever played like a game like StarCraft, or any of these real time strategy games. One of the very basic ways of tell like a good player from a bad player is, well, when you have your army and their army, you send them at each other. But what happens is, a good player, when he sees that one of his units is starting to get attacked or going to red, they'll pull them away from the line, and then usually the AI will attack whatever else is closest, and then that red guy can come back in and still attack. So that way you get stronger. You'll know a bad player when they kind of send them at one guy, and then you take that one that they're all firing on, lead them away, and then the entire army is following that one player or that one unit through your entire gauntlet. And so it's kind of like that, where it's like you have this target priority of one, but you really, you know, can't go just all at it, because then that one can just lead you away while all, if you're a gauntlet, while all the other ones are surrounding you. I'm sure all the StarCraft or real-time strategy people know exactly what I'm saying. Everyone else, I'm sorry.
It's fine. I forgive you. Well, gentlemen, that was a great discussion on that. To our patrons who commented on our post asking for help, you know, there you go. We talked about a lot of the things that you guys asked for. Anybody who didn't get their question specifically answered, we'll give you guys a text answer here in the next couple days. So we'll be at Adepticon this week. We'll be streaming, so we'll see you there. Thank you to Johnny. He's going to be holding down the streaming fort, at least on Friday. Hopefully Saturday, too, because I'll be in the cut. Hopefully. This is my one chance.
Well, even if you're not in the cut, wouldn't you be doing the hyperspace?
Probably not, to be completely honest, because I'm a sucker for making sure that I'm working all the time. So this is my one chance is to get into the top eight.
All right, then don't fly off the board.
Oh, don't remind me. Okay, not too soon. Anyway, so you can watch live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. You can watch our videos and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Just go ahead and look up Gold Squadron Podcast. And lastly, if you enjoy the show and you want to help continue expanding our content while getting awesome swag, go to patreon.com/Gold Squadron. There's a Twitch Prime thing. There's GoldSquadronPodcast.com. Lots of different ways you can support us. Do it if you want to. If you don't, that's okay too. I won't be mad. Thank you guys so much for Nate and Marcel. My name is Dio Morales.
Should I play us?
What?
I think I'm going to take a crack swarm.
Oh, no, you did it last time. How did that go?
4 and something.
4 and bad. Gold Squadron out.